Over 2,000 years ago, in the town of Bethlehem, angels began to sing. There were shepherds in the fields that night, and they looked up and saw all of heaven praising God. Glory, glory in the highest, and peace on earth to whom his favor rests. The angels sang, and the shepherds wondered, who could this be about? So they searched, and they found. They saw a baby born in a barn, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Could it be that this is who the angels were singing of? But why would such a special child be born in a barn? Maybe it was to show us humility. Maybe it was to show us that he came to serve. Maybe it was to show the shepherds that even they were loved by God, regardless of their day jobs. Or maybe it was to show them that even he was a shepherd. The great shepherd. He was the one who would lead the flock. He was the one who would save the people. He was the one who would shut the mouth of the lions. He was the one who would be crowned king over all creation. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Word of Life. He is Emmanuel, God among us, and his name is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of all.
Well, I told you last week I would be saying Merry Christmas for the next two Sundays. Looking forward to that day coming soon, Christmas Eve, and time of fellowship with all the churches together here. Looking forward to that, 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve, candlelight service. Hope you'll come, be a part of it. We always enjoy it, and certainly it's a good time of fellowship together as we think again upon that child that was born so many years ago, who became and who was God and who became the Savior of the world. So encourage you to come, be a part of that, and enjoy that. We did, by the way, get all of our readers, so we have people ready to read the necessary scriptures that we will use that night. And now the ball and the is in Pastor Choi's court, and he's going to put it all together. I gave him what I had, and he's going to put it all together, and we're going to have a great time that evening. So plan to be there. Bring a friend. Bring your neighbor. Bring your family. Whoever. Bring them. Come and have this good time of fellowship together. All right, we've been talking about Mary and her life last week and Mary's Christmas, and we realized that it, when we really look at it closely, was not what we tend to want to romanticize it to be. It was a hard life. It was an interrupted life. It was a life that had a lot of questions that were unanswered. It was a life that brought a lot of pain. And so as we looked at all of that, And then we talked about it. We recognized that that first Christmas, in many ways, if we were to look at it from our real perspective, was not a Christmas that was what we tend to think of Christmas being. It was a lot of hardship, a lot of struggles. But there were some marvelous things that happened during that time. And one of those things was the angels of heaven bringing a message to mankind. And we sing about it, "Hark the herald angels sing, angels we have heard on high." And I just go down the list, there's a whole lot of hymns that we sing about these angels. And we listen to the message every year. I don't know how long you've been going to church, but I've been going since I was able to be carried. And I have heard every Christmas these songs, "Angels that we've heard on high," et cetera, et cetera. And then when we were growing up, of course, as kids, we were in plays. We all had plays, you know, and we'd have a Christmas play. And we'd have angels sitting on boxes or whatever with their little wings and what have you, all surrounding this manger scene. And we would hear the songs again, and we'd hear the message again. But you know, it gets to the point over a period of years, and I've been doing this now for a lot of years, long before I was an adult, long before I became a pastor, long before now, I hear all these things. And I would hear it from this preacher and that preacher and our home preacher and whatever the case may be. At Christmas time, we would do special things and we'd hear the message. And, you know, I got to thinking about that and I thought, do we really spend time at Christmas time really thinking in depth about what that message was that that angel brought to the shepherds that day? Now, I know we know that he spoke of the Christ that was born, the baby. We know that he challenged the All right, lights went out. He challenged the shepherds as to what was happening. They were fearful. I mean, seeing this angel in the sky shining brightly, declaring these wonderful words, had to bring fear, and they were terrified. This is not something that normally happens. It's kind of like we talked about last week, Mary's visit from the angel. Not something that normally happened, not something that was an everyday thing. And neither was this for these shepherds who were out in the fields taking care of the flock. Why them? Why was this all happening? And so we need to look at the message that was being brought. The other thing is, the Christ was born. The baby was born. Jesus was born. And the singing of the choirs of angels had to be really, for them, for the angels, a lot of questions. Think about that for a moment. Almighty God, in all that He was, lowering Himself to become like man, take upon Him flesh, live amongst His own creation. This was something that they had never seen before, something they had never experienced before as angels. And they'd been with Him for eternity. What a tremendous difference. What a different thing. And here they are praising, glorifying, because God always gets the glory. He always gets the glory. But they were sent with a message. And the message was to be heard loud and clear. And it started with the shepherds. And once the message was given, then the hosts of heaven, the skies were filled with them, praising God, glorifying God. What a glorious scene that was. In Luke 2, 8 to 14, we have it listed in Scripture for us, preserved for us, so that we could read it and hear it and understand it, and perhaps let the Spirit of God in us interpret it in a way that touches our own life, touches our own heart. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch. over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terribly frightened. You can't even imagine how they would react to such a thing. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He will be a sign for you. You shall find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." Now, as we begin to look at this, these are familiar words. The message of the angels to the shepherds has been read in church services, as I've said, since I can remember and long before me. But how many of us have ever thought about, taken time in depth to study the riches of the truths revealed in the angel's message? Do we really understand all that was being said? And I want to take a moment to consider that today. First of all, there's 5 points to this message, so you can write them down if you'd like. The first one is, it was a message of good news. They were bringing good news to a world that was filled with chaos, hatred, violence, death, all kinds of problems. They were ready for some good news. They just wasn't sure what kind of good news that they were going to expect. And what the angels were given to them was a message that basically was a word in the language of evangelisto, or good news, getting the message out. A great joy which shall be to all people. Good tidings, good message. Nothing down about that message. All right, the great announcement which the angels of heaven were about to utter was characterized by the angels as a message, first of all, which would bring great joy. Only when one receives that message, accepts its truth, understands what it meant, will it bring joy to that life. Because at that moment of acceptance of what God has provided, a change takes place. And that change, by hearing the good news, by accepting its message and the messenger, lives are changed. And instead of fear, there is joy. Instead of chaos, there's peace. Instead of anxiety, there is calmness. And the angels are simply saying, don't be afraid at what you see, because the message we bring is going to bring to you peace. That fear you have at the moment, and of course, it spoke of being terrified. They spoke of they were terribly frightened, terrified, was to be replaced with joy upon receiving the message. Can I say something here at this point? Taking it all in that realm of things, every man, woman, or child in the history of this world who has come to grips with the message that the angels brought that day and then received by faith the living Christ for who He was, has found that their terror, their fear, their fear of all that's going on around them, the fear of their own life, has been replaced by joy. We sing the song, Joy to the World. But when we look around at the world, there's not much joy there. There is fear, and you hear it every day. I can't, it gets to the point where I want to just shut it off. Because no matter what you hear from, whether it's your radio, whether it's your TV, whether it's your iPad, whether it's your phone, or whatever, constantly you're getting warnings, which create fear. This isn't what it is. I get the biggest kick out of, and it's sad, but I get the biggest kick out of these ads for medicine. I mentioned this before, that there is a movie out called Joe Somebody. If you ever get a chance to, it's a fun movie. But here's the point. He's a representative of a medical company, and his whole idea is to promote the meds. And the single phrase in there that encapsulates everything that's being said is, be more than you can be. All right? Be more than you can be. You take this med, you'll be able to do things you never were able to do before. You'll be somebody you never were before. Yes, it's just the meds. But here, I listen to these ads on the news. You do too. I'm sure you do. It comes on if you're watching something and it comes on. Well, take this new med. I mean, I can't believe how many new medicines have come out this last year. I've never heard of them before. The words and the titles of them are crazy. And they tell you all the wonderful things they're going to do for you. And then down below is this whole big long line of things. This will happen, this may happen, this may happen, this may happen. And then in the final, and it may cause death. But be all you can be. That's the idea, Don't worry about that. Just take it. The idea was not supposed to be a negative thing. They're trying to get some good news to you. There's some help for you in what you're struggling with. However, there is a downside. But with the angels of heaven and the message they brought, there was no downside. There was no downside. The upside was that you could know the Lord, you could be redeemed, you could be saved, you could be part of the kingdom of God, you could live forever eternally in the presence of Almighty God by simply receiving the gift that was being offered in this little baby that was born. Wow, that's a lot to see in a little baby. Now, we love babies, do we not? Yeah. And we always say they're cute, whether they are or not. Oh, they're cute, Inside, we're saying, wow. But we're holding them, and we love them, and we love them to death, and they're beautiful. But we don't look at them and say, well, let's see now, what are they going to do in life? Although a little later, we may begin to think about it. How's this kid ever going to get along? This kid needs to learn how to grow. This kid needs to learn how to live. This kid needs to learn only before this kid can do anything. But in the Savior, it was already laid out there for us to see. He's going to be the Savior of the world. That's no small task. And the angels are bringing it. It's good news. It's good news. Man is lost in sin. Man is under the curse of sin. Man needs help. And now God said from heaven by the angels, we've brought the help you need. A Savior has been born. And so it was good news, which ought to bring joy. But so often it doesn't. So often it doesn't. There's so much in this world that is other than joy. Lack of peace, chaos. You just go down the list. Hatred, violence, all of it. It's there. Where's the joy? The promise was that this message would bring joy to the world. We sing it, joy to the world. Where is it? Well, it's found only in the message and the messenger and the one with whom the message is about. In Him, in a relationship with Him, in a place of redemption by Him. Only then does that which panics us and terrifies us turn to joy. And so the message was good news. The message was one of good tidings, of great joy. And the other thing is, it was good news to all the people. You notice it wasn't just for Israel. It wasn't just for the shepherds alone. It was for all people, everywhere, throughout the world. That's why the church has been directed by the Lord to go into all the world and preach the good news. Share the good news. We're to do it everywhere. And it was concerning the one whom the message speaks. God said in Isaiah 49:6, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. So it's not just for Israel or for the tribes of Jacob or the preserved ones of Israel, but it's to be for a light to the Gentiles and to all people to the ends of the earth. The good news. The gospel. We all like good news. I mean, it's a wonderful thing when we open up our mail and we open it up and here's a wonderful check for a couple thousand dollars we didn't expect. That's good news. Wow, in 10 minutes we've got it spent. In our heads anyway. We already figured it out. We know what we're going to do with it. An interesting thing is that over a period of time until I get to the bank, I've spent it four times over. Yeah, I've spent it four times over. Well, I need it over here. Okay, that's good. And I think about that for a few minutes. Well, then I need it here. And then I need it over here. And I've got, by the time I get to the bank, I need twice or three times as much as I have if I'm going to do all those things. But it's good news, and we love to get good news. We love it when we hear, for instance, last night I was absolutely thrilled when I heard that the Kiripati family had their house. That's good news. That was answer to prayer. That was God moving in the whole situation. And we love good news. But in this world, we get good news and we get bad news. We get both. But this message that came by God's direction through the angel to the shepherds was indeed good news. It was a joyful message. It was a message that would produce joy, and it would produce it for the whole of the world, all of the world, for all who would receive it, accept it, believe it, and trust it. But it was also a message of a Savior. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Now, because of Adam, man stands in need of a Savior. We were alienated from God and were alone, living under the curse of sin until the light of Jesus broke into our world and offered redemption for those who dwell in darkness. Matthew 1:20-21 says this, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Joseph, in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I said something last week that some of you shook your head at. But I'm going to say it again today. And it's a quote. I didn't originate it. It's a quote from a pastor that you probably know very well. But it was this. If our greatest need had been the need for information, if that had been our greatest need as a human race, then God would have sent us an educator, not a Savior. If our greatest need had been technology, that which we must have to survive, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, some of us think it is, but it's not. If it had been, however, God would have sent us an economist. All right? If our greatest need had been pleasure, then God would have sent us an entertainer. And some people are kind of presenting him that way now. But our greatest need was forgiveness. And our greatest need was reconciliation. So God sent us a Savior. A Savior. John MacArthur is the one that spoke those words. And speaking one Christmas, he said this: the church needs to get back to remembering that God sent His Son into the world to save His people from their what? Sins. That's the issue. And a proper presentation of the gospel is to talk about that. Always. That is precisely what is bound up in the announcement of the angel that the one who is born today is lying there in a feeding trough in Bethlehem would one day save the world and be the Savior of the world. Joseph got the message. He will be called Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. You see, the real destroyer is sin. And guilt for sin is a real guilt, not a psychological thing. Artificial guilt, not a self-imposed guilt, but God-imposed guilt that damns to eternal hell if we do not receive the gift that sets us free and redeems us and brings us into the kingdom of God. God never sends anyone to hell. We do that to ourselves by refusing to receive the wonderful Savior that He gave to us and to trust Him with our lives, both now and eternally. We need always to make that choice. Human race needs to make that choice. It is from that people need to be saved. Now, we talk a lot in this world about rescue. We have organizations that rescue. That's what they do. They rescue. Not only moments of rescue for human beings that may be in trouble, and we have that all the time. We read it in the news all the time. You know, organizations that have helicopters that go up into the mountains and lift people out of ledges that they've fallen onto or in valleys where they've fallen off the ledge, rescue people who've been hurt, broken legs, bones, whatever, or even people who have died. We go and bring back the remains. We have rescue people and organizations that rescue animals of every kind who are in trouble, who are struggling, perhaps not being taken care of by their owners. I just read just this past week about a place that they literally went to that had all kinds of horses, and they were living in a small area, and it was nothing but mud, and these horses were living in the mud and could hardly find a place anywhere to lay down, and they were scrawny. They weren't being fed. There was no food. And they were rescued. And so we send out the rescue. And we deliver them from the situations. And we rejoice when we can, a few months later, see that same animal fat and happy and playing and rejoicing. And the same is true when we see people who are rescued. And they recover and we're so grateful, we're so glad that there was a rescue. Well, let me tell you something. The greatest rescue of all was that baby born that first Christmas Eve, who came to rescue the world, to save her from self and sin and Satan. He died on a cross to save us from those things. He came to rescue and deliver us. And man, when we're in the water flashing around, we're going to drown, and somebody throws us a little lifesaver. Do we say, no, I'm not interested? I'll do this on my own? No. We grab onto it, we hold onto it, and we pray that they'll drag us into safety. But when it comes to the Savior of the world, the one who has come to rescue us, we sit back and we say, well, sorry, I'm not interested. Not interested. Well, I'll do this on my own. What a sad, sad thing that is. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I don't know if you're here today and you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not saved by Him, if you're not yet redeemed by Him, I encourage you, I pray to God that you will see He's trying to rescue you, that you are lost, and that you need a Savior who can deliver you. And it came. That deliverance came in the form of a baby, God incarnate, that first Christmas Eve. But it was also a message of the Christ. Now, we have to look at the words here, okay? Verse 11b says, who is Christ? The Savior. Who is Christ, okay? The angel calls Him Christ, meaning the Anointed One. He is the Jewish Messiah, the Savior that God promised long ago as the prophecies of the Old Testament. He was the literal fulfillment of God's promise made in Micah 5:2, where He says, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to Me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Not only is He the King of the Jews, as declared by the wise men in Matthew 2:2, when they came and said, where is He that is born King of Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him. He is Messiah, anointed by God as King of Kings and eternal sovereign King, ruler over all creation. All creation. He is Messiah, the anointed great high priest, the mediator between mankind and God. He is Messiah, the anointed prophet, declaring God's message to mankind. Listen to what He said. This is what Jesus said, Luke 4:18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what I'm doing. That's why I'm here. I've been anointed by God to do this, to carry this message. So it was a message of the Anointed One. It was about the Anointed One. It was about His commands by God of what He was to do, and He obeyed those commands. If we could just understand a little bit with our minds how lost we are without Him. If we could just understand just a little bit with our minds how great a sacrifice He made to become like you and I, to come here and to die for us so that He could pay the price so we didn't have to die. If we could just understand a little bit as we look at that manger, what was encompassed in God's purpose and plan of that little baby being born. What a difference it would make in all aspects of our lives. Every part of our lives. He's the ruler of creation. He is what sustains the very air you breathe every day. When you get up, you take this deep breath and you stretch yourself and you think you're doing so great. Listen, let me tell you something. If the air weren't there, And not only that, he's got that which he put into your body and that we still don't understand. Man still doesn't understand it unless he knows God. And that is that which keeps that heart beating. What in the world started it and what in the world keeps it going? Now, I'm telling you something. I don't know any piece of machinery that's ever been built by man who lasted for 84 years without breaking down. Do you? God created and put within us that living spirit and that which life force, which keeps that heart beating. Maybe sometimes it's out of sync. I don't know. That's all right. Some of you know what that means. But it's still beating. It's still functioning. And maybe sometimes some of the little veins in there get clogged because we tend to eat the wrong kind of things or not do what we need to do. But it's still beating. And he gives you warning signs when it starts to break down. There's warning signs. Go in and get it fixed. And he's given the doctors the wisdom to be able to do just a little bit of things there to fix it so it can keep right on going. Keeps right on going. You see, he is creator of everything. All things. The light that we see, we're sitting here. Outside, it's light. Where does that come from? No, I know the sun is not shining. It's always brighter when the sun's shining. But it's still light. Right? At night, it's dark. Why do you suppose it's dark at night and light at day? Is there any reason for that? Of course there is. And the Lord set it up at the very beginning. The light is the time that you get up, you do, you act, you work, you do the things you need to do. And when it's dark, you're done for the day and you rest and get ready to be recuperated for the next day. That's what it's all about. Of course, we've shifted it all around. Now we've got night shifts and day shifts and midnight shifts. And we've got all these different kinds of shifts. And we suffer from it. We don't get the sleep we need to get. Sometimes we just feel like I get up and I feel like I'm tireder than I was when I went to bed. Why? Because we've messed with the things that God has made and created and sustained from day after day. I loved it on the farm. You know why? Because you get up when the light comes up and you go to bed when the light goes down. That's it. And in between, you do whatever you can do. It's a wonderful life. But now we've just changed it all around, and so we're miserable. People are yawning in church. Why are you yawning? Well, I didn't get enough sleep. Right? Yeah. Yeah. All right. It was also the message of the Lord. Now, not of old Christ, the Messiah, but of the Lord. Verse 11, for there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. All right? The Lord. The Lord is the word kurios, which means God robed in flesh. God robed in flesh. His office is that of Savior, coming to provide salvation to those who would receive His message. His authority and legitimacy is that of Christ, divinely commissioned to be our Redeemer. And His sufficiency is that of Lord, for only God could effect that which was necessary to provide that redemption for us. Only He could do it. Only one like you, minus your sin, sinless, Son of God, only He could redeem you. You couldn't redeem yourself because you got sin. You have to pay for that first. I couldn't redeem you because I have sin. And so I can't take care of you. I can't take care of me. He came and became one of us, dwelt among us, and became what we couldn't do for ourselves. One who was the Lamb of God who would die in our place, in our stead. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then John 1:1 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Had the person of whom the angel spoke that day were a mere human, he would have been incapable of meeting the requirements necessary to carry out the mission to save the lost. Couldn't be done. The substitutionary sacrifice of the incarnate Son of God on the cross of Calvary is the one and only all-sufficient ground of redemption from the guilt and the power of sin and from God's wrath and condemnation. He was God in the flesh. And we often describe it as this: all God, all man, combined together. Because he was born of a virgin, he had no sin. No sin passed from a father down to him. If you'll notice the pattern in the Old Testament, it's the father's sins visited upon the children. But he was sinless, because he was literally the Son of God. He was begotten by the Holy Spirit of God, and he became the Savior of the world. Now, last, all of this was to give glory to God. The whole message was to give glory to God. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." They were praising God because Jesus was born. They were praising God because the Savior had come. They were praising God for the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They were exalting God for His unfathomable act of love for His fallen creation. Never before had the angels of heaven and of glory ever experienced anything like this. And when they experienced it and saw it and beheld it, they had to praise God and give Him glory. Did they understand it? The Bible says they didn't understand it. But they saw what He did. And because of it, they were glorifying Him. That's the whole point. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said of the angelic chorus, they had been present on many August occasions, and they had joined in many a solemn chorus to the praise of the Almighty Creator. They were present at creation. The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That was at creation. They had seen many a planet fashioned between the palms of the Jehovah and wheeled by His eternal hands through the infinitude of space. They had sung the solemn songs over many a world which the Great One had created. We doubt not that they often chanted, "Blessing and honor and glory and majesty and power and dominion and might be unto Him that sitteth on the throne," manifesting Himself in the work of creation. I doubt not, too, that their songs had gathered force through the ages, and when first created, their first breath was song. So they saw God create new worlds. Then their song received another note. They rose a little higher in the gamut of adoration. But this time, what they saw God stoop from His throne, become a baby, hanging upon a woman's breast. They left their notes higher and still, and reaching to the utmost stretch of angelic music, they gained the highest note of divine scale of praise, and they sung, "Glory to God in the highest." For higher in goodness, they felt God could not go. What else could He possibly do that would be greater than this? And even though they could not understand the full impact of it, they saw it, they experienced it, they believed it, and they gave glory to God for it. They gave Him the highest act of their highest praise to Him who is the Godhead. Redemption story is all about God at work and accomplishing that which He and He alone could do. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Now everything is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, in Christ. God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed the message of reconciliation to us, His children. The good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, that through His grace we can join the angels in giving glory to God. And we've seen a few glimpses into heaven as we have it written for us in the Holy Scriptures. And there we sing the multitudes before the throne of God, praising God, singing the song of redemption. And it's not over yet. And it won't be till I get there, till you get there, to every one of us who know Him gets there. And when it is finally finalized, we will all, with the angels of heaven, give the glory to God because of that wonderful message that they brought and gave to the shepherds that night so many years ago. I challenge you this morning. We're getting into the Christmas season and closer to Christmas. We're only a week or so away from Christmas. We've got a lot of things we're going to do together. But in the middle of all that we do, let's remember something. Let's remember the message of the angels. It's to be a joyful time. It's to be a peaceful time. It is to be a time of good news. It is to be a time when the whole world rejoices. May that be our goal, to rejoice, to know His joy and peace, to get the message out. He's the Savior of the world. That little baby in that manger, such a, as it was put, mean situation, was the King of Kings. And what a privilege the shepherds had of being able to find Him there and worship Him there. And I think what a privilege for the animals that they were included in that sense of His presence in that stable. Creation. It was His creation, all of it. By Him all things are created. That's what the Word of God says in Hebrews. By Him, that baby. So as we think of it, as we look at the manger scene, as we look at the wonders of Christmas, as we enjoy the fellowship of families, as we enjoy the fellowship of the church together in the days ahead here, let us remember the message. It's good news. Let us remember that it was the Christ who came, the one who was anointed by God. Let us remember that He was the Lord, God in flesh. Let us remember that all of this was to His glory. And for His glory, all of it, which means that you and I in our lives, daily, walking, wherever we are, what we're doing, is to bring glory to Him. We're to bring glory to Him and not live like the world, not do what the world does, not live in that chaos and that violence and that terrifying situation, but know the peace of God that passes all understanding. Because the news was good news. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Such good news. Such good news. Father, we've got nothing but praise, nothing but honor, nothing but glory to give. Because You loved us so much, You wouldn't let us go on that way. And You sent Your Son, became flesh, dwelt among us, showed Your glory, kept your word, fulfilled Your commandments, completed it all until He could say, it was finished, it was finished. Thank You, thank You, thank You for that Savior that You sent for us to redeem us. And Father, I pray for those here that may not know You yet. Speak to their hearts. Let them know You love them. Let them know, Father, that you want them in your kingdom and in your family, as members of your family. Help them to know that you will work in their lives to change and move them in a new direction so that their lives may bring glory to you. I just pray, make that impact upon our hearts this morning. And as Christians, Father, I pray that we too might once again feel the deep reality of this great message and the deep reality of the presence of Almighty God living within, that we might truly honor you in every way. We pray this morning in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.